You know, I decided to wear the same clothes. I used to wear a different hat every time I came to live festival so people could tell whether or not, if it's a different hat, it's a program they haven't seen. Now I'm doing the reverse. Wear the same clothes every time, and they have to listen to figure out if it's one they haven't seen. We're live.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Of course, I told you that every time I sat down with these clothes, so you don't know whether this is one of the other times when I wore the same clothes and said, we're live. That's the whole point. And all of you people that watch on satellite, listen to radio, and on the internet, what's the matter with you? You've had 24-hour teaching. And I sat down here 25 minutes ago, and I was teaching on Philippians. And I can't believe that across this nation, around the world, nobody was responsive enough to the word to call, one or two people. What's the matter with you? Why don't I just save the money and go fishing and get rid of the satellite? And just buy a couple hours, maybe 1 hour, maybe 2 hours a week, like most ministries. And the only time you can tune in is like Europe, 2 hours on Sunday morning. Now, from New York to Portland to Texas to Maine, and all across Canada, you've been sitting and luxuriating in the teaching all day long, off and on. And I come in here at 10 o'clock to address the Los Angeles audience, which is the springboard of this ministry, and to wake up my congregation here to their part in being the pillar in the ground that elevates the truth and the light that we send out. And I get the feeling that you King's Houses, some 60,000 of you around the country, sit there smugly. I mean, everybody goes to the races, not to see who wins, but to see a wreck. Everybody loves a wreck. I never did figure out when I was growing up in school, while everybody gathered around to watch the fight. You just like watching me beat on Los Angeles. Well, I may let Los Angeles watch me beat on you tonight. It's ridiculous that you don't get on the telephone and do your part as King's Houses across America to get an atmosphere of faith in this room before we go live on 56. I don't have a bunch of dummies in my congregation. You know what's going on. You're not doing your part. King's Houses certainly the Philippian band. But what happened to the commitment to watch at least one night a week just to receive and drink in and dedicate yourself another night to work? That's what brings the voices of faith in here. Well, you can't get here to be a voice of faith if you're 3,000 miles away, but you can spend the 30 minutes or an hour before the time that we go live, or this critical hour from 10 to 11, to strengthen the foundation here at our home cathedral. And you can't take it upon yourselves to get on the phone and get some faith in this room. What's the matter with you? Oh, you said those Los Angeles people make me mad. Well, you're a bunch of spoiled brats too, the rest of you. You've had 24 hours a day programming. The KU band, I don't need the KU band. It's for our own people. Nobody can pick it up unless you buy the dish, and we're not selling the dish. We're not making any profit from it. It's provided as a service for you to have a small dish in areas that zoning won't let you have the large dish, because zoning laws do not restrict you on 1 meter or less dish. You can put it on a trailer house. Put it on a camper. $500 to $600. And you got 24-hour access to our own private dish network. That's just done for you. We don't make any money for shortwave. Shortwave's reaching the third world. Whole refugee camps gather around the shortwave to listen. This is ministry. But I do expect you, King's Houses, to do your part. You made a commitment. Now, don't make me spend the whole hour tonight that I want to do some teaching for the Los Angeles audience and all of you. But in these first two songs, you better get on the telephone. And we still have about another 200 reservation seats available at the cathedral to reach my quota. So get on the telephone. I like these first-time callers, or ones that have just started listening recently. It doesn't say where they're calling from, watching on 56. I just want to call and tell Doc I enjoy his show. I like the program. Now, that wasn't hard, was it? He didn't get choked with a telephone cord and billfold jerked out of his pocket, stomped on for being less than perfect. I assume he knows he is. We all are. Simi Valley, I've been watching for 2 weeks, and this teaching is great. Thank you very much, sir. I wasn't here last night. Last week I was live to check out Channel 56 and see if you appreciate the hour of teaching each night. We're 4 hours on Sunday, and I'm pretty regularly live part of that time. But normally we play during this hour a message from the cathedral in the heart of the city, downtown, between 9th and Olympic on Broadway. You have to have a pass to get in. You make a reservation. All you got to do is let me know. You understand it's a college-level teaching on the Word, and you're coming because you want to learn. That's all. We mail you a pass. But I want to know if you appreciate the teaching. Now, last week, as I said, I was here 4 nights. I'm not going to be here 4 nights tonight. I want to play the teaching. But I'm here to check the temperature of the Channel 56 viewers, and as I open, wake up the rest of the nation that's luxuriating in 24-hour programming. San Diego, dear pastor, I sure miss you. I've moved here to San Diego and not been able to attend the cathedral, so I got a new shortwave radio today. I continue to support the ministry, and I'm reconfirming Sunday, or sending something. That's what he's reconfirming. Why don't you get one of these KU band dishes? Keep what you're sending and go buy a dish. I want you to have these KU band dishes. Somewhere between $500 and $600, all you got to do is call a local satellite company that installs dishes, tell them you want a 1 meter dish, and the Voices of Faith will tell you the numbers where the satellite Telstar is located, and you got to give them the symbol rate so they can fix your receiver. I just called a satellite company. They came out, they put it up in 1 day, sent me a bill, something around $500, $550. Maybe, I don't think it was that much. And I've been watching myself ever since. Just that easy. Redondo Beach. Been watching for 6 weeks, and my perspective has totally changed in reading the Word. I want some more messages like that. Get on the telephone. Now, that rubber-legged guy that you saw dancing there for just a minute, he was picking the music tonight, and I sort of laced into him while he played that first song. I mean, I'm already mad at my audience across the country that are spoiled when I sit down here for 25 minutes and none of them are calling. So I'm already in a bad mood. I came here in a good mood. And then he plays that downer song. And I'm, while the music was playing, and you all out there didn't hear me, I'm saying, make that guy get out in the hall. He's a computer expert. And, you know, in fact, I couldn't believe he could move as good as he did when he came down. Most of them sit all the time, and all they know how to do is punch buttons. But I said, make him get in the hall and dance to that, because if you can't dance to it, don't start my program with one of these dull songs. And then my wife, who was up there, said, well, I'll send him down on the next song. Then he picked one he could move to. He moved pretty good, didn't he? And, you know, rubber-legged. In fact, when he's working, if I ever see him move slower than that, he's going to get it. Now that I know how fast he can move. Come on, get on telephone. I'm not going to teach until I get some more of you calling and telling me you're glad that we're on 56. Here's a new reservation. I'd like a reservation for 2 in the cathedral Sunday. Good, you're welcome. And here's Los Angeles. My reservations are in for the week. I don't know about anyone else and everyone else in the country and Los Angeles, but I know I need an ass whipping every once in a while. I can't think there's nobody better. You know, Washington, D.C., we're on at 5:30 on Sunday morning, and I've been whipping into my people to get up at 2:30 and be here as voices of faith. Somebody called the other night and says, what do I do to be a voice of faith? Call, leave your number, we call you back, tell us the times that you're available, and the training's on the job. It's really complicated. You pick up the phone and say, Dr. James Goslines. You don't minister to them, you don't pray for them, you don't do anything but ask them if they're a king's house, because that's the way I keep track of my king's houses, and if you're not, don't worry about it. Say no. But you're giving messages for me to answer, not the voices of faith. And if it's a bad call, they're supposed to throw it in the wastebasket. I like only good news. I'm paying for the phone calls. Ashley, Virginia, the service this morning was fabulous. This is the kind of preaching I need to hear more of. The message was intellectually stimulating and, like I said, just fabulous. If Doc's got on the Internet, yes, 24 hours a day. Washington, D.C., I've been watching for about a month and a half. This is so intelligent. The way he's covering so many languages, I feel so dumb that I wish I could follow better. Don't worry about it. You got the gist of it. I want him to know I really do like the program. And I like this message. Washington, D.C., watching on Channel 5. Dr. Scott's a hell of a good guy. Man, I like that. Upper Marlboro. Sarah, love your program. I think it's awesome. Can I get a copy of the pulpit? Yes. Annapolis, Maryland. I've been needing a message like this. This is the first time I've seen this man. Tell him I really want to thank him for it. Stafford City, Washington. I want to say how much I enjoyed the program. Thank you for the program. Washington, D.C., your program was really a blessing to me this morning. You're part of this ministry when you sit here and take these calls. What a tragedy if they call and no one's here at 2:30 in the morning Sunday to answer. I'm watching the program. I really enjoy the message. Culpeper, Virginia, my first time calling. This is awesome. Thank you for the program. In Washington, D.C., this is my third time watching. I like the way it gets into the meaning of each word. Please send me the pulpit. We shall. I'm going to start teaching right after the half hour, so use this time to make your reservations for Sunday. And you regulars know all the other things that you're supposed to call about. Get on the telephone. Oh, it looks like that little bit of wake-up for Brian made an instant star out of him. I'm even getting calls. Ventura, first-time caller. I love the teaching. I've been watching 2 weeks now. I'll be visiting the cathedral soon. How soon? Like this Sunday? Whittier, I've been watching for quite a while. I'd really like to make a reservation to be at the cathedral for the first time. You're welcome. Good. Los Angeles, I just want to say that I think the teaching's very good. It gives me their name. Venice, California. I enjoy Dr. Scott. Pour it on. You're outstanding and plus something else. I just got a 36-inch dish. Really look forward. You're a good talker, and I just love to sit down, relax, and listen and watch you. Thank you. Well, I hope you got the numbers so that the dish can be lined up to the proper symbol rate. If you didn't, call the Voices of Faith. They'll give it to you. You ought to become a KU band member. Doesn't cost you anything. Just lets me know how many people out there are getting the KU band dishes that makes it worthwhile that we leased the additional satellite and built the uplink. North Hollywood. This looks like an Armenian. I haven't gotten to the Armenian Bible roots yet, but I will. I would like to make a reservation. New listener. I think you're great and nobody teaches like you. You blow my mind. It totally amazes me. Okay, thank you. I've gone from legalism. I like this, Westminster. I've gone from legalism to freedom, and I just can't get enough of your teaching. I watch every night. Thank you, sir. Temecula. I'm a pastor in the Temecula area. I enjoy the way you dive into the Greek, the Hebrew, and the Arabic. Gives me his name. I'd probably dive into the wine down in Temecula, too. A lot of people don't know that's a wine area. Anaheim. First time caller. He keeps asking for us to call. What kind of stogies does Doc smoke? I don't smoke stogies. This is a Cuban. Opus X. It's illegal to buy them and sell them. It's not illegal to smoke them. Some illegal person gave it to me. He keeps asking for us to call. What kind of stogies? No stogies. First class. He asked for me to go to call, so I'm calling. Is that it? That's it. That's it. Just want to know you're watching. Appreciate the programming. We're visiting Los Angeles from Oregon. I've been watching Dr. Scott for about a week. The message of faith is really moving me. I want to get one of those dishes when we get back home. We run back to our room, but tend to hear him. Good. Now be sure you call the Voices of Faith and get all the specifics on tuning the dish in. They got to know it's Telstar and where the band is, the cymbal rate. The Voice of Faith will give you the numbers if you call. All right, no more calls. I want to show you something. I have, in some of the messages in Romans thus far, I've a few times written down the passage in the Latin Vulgate. We have a 13th century Vulgate, handwritten, down in the room of the book, the only one in the world that exists. Not the only Vulgate that exists, but the only one of that beautiful original hand scribing. But I have, as I've talked about, the horizontal spread and the translating of the original scriptures before doctrinal fixation set in, where the early message proclaimed the resurrection of Christ, his power, his miracles, and they had a literal expectancy of his quick return. That makes you honest in your translating. You believe he's alive and watching you. And as the fixation of doctrine occurred, enforced from the Council of Nicaea, by the emperor himself who Christianized the empire, if you had an ambiguous word, you're going to go, if there are options, you're going to go with that which is the party line. It's like I said in the previous half hour when I was teaching on Philippians, where a phrase means the same thing. Either you're in my heart or I'm in your heart. The context forced you to choose the latter. I'm in your heart, when Paul was talking to the Philippians. Well, if it already sealed a doctrinal interpretation of that, the translator is going to be prone not to stick his neck out. The earlier ones, they're just seeking the truth. I have not referred in any of the messages to my recollection to this point to the Old Latin. Jerome fixed the Latin translation. There were recensions after Jerome, but we're into the 5th century. But Old Latin, like the Old Syriac that we've looked at, and the Ethiopic classical, and the Coptic language of Egypt, and like the Aramaic, and we go clear back to Nehemiah 8, and the Targums came into existence first as oral translations. When they came back from Babylon, they couldn't, most of the people didn't speak Hebrew. They spoke the language of the Western Persian Empire. They spoke Aramaic. And so when they found the scrolls, as it says in Nehemiah 8, the scribes and the educated religious leaders could read the Hebrew, but it says they read from the scrolls and then explained the meaning thereof to the people, which means they explained it in English. I mean, like I'm doing, I'm explaining in English, they explained it in Aramaic to those people, which was their native tongue. They had forgotten Hebrew. They'd been raised in a generation, many of whom never learned Hebrew. The Old Latin is much the same way. I'm going to read to you about the Old Latin. The Old Latin, remember, the New Testament world was dominated by the Greek language for the educated because Alexander the Great had conquered the area. But the Romans ruled at the time of Christ, and Latin was the language of the Romans. And many Old Latin versions begin to crop up. And in our English language, we get most of our religious words from the Old Latin, purified, updated, improved, and fixed by Jerome, who produced the Vulgate, which for the next 1,000 years ruled the medieval church. Jerome either coined a new, I'm reading from Bruce Metzger, the early versions of the New Testament, Jerome either coined anew or rebaptized with fresh significance words such as salvation. You remember how we had to dig into that word? Regeneration. Justification. We had to dig into that one. Sanctification. Propitiation. We'll get into that in the verses following where I am now. On Sunday morning services, reconciliation, inspiration, scripture, sacraments, many others. But the history of the Latin versions, the Old Latin, pre-Jerome, pre-Vulgate, the history of the Latin versions of the New Testament, back to the time of the first century, horizontal translations, the history of the Latin version of the New Testament bristles with difficulty and disputed problems, not the least of which are the question when, where, and by whom the earliest Latin renderings were made. The roots of the Old Latin versions will remind those of you that have been listening to me of the Aramaic. The Targums eventually were written down. Targum means translation. The translations were ultimately written down, but originally, starting with Nehemiah 8:8, when they came back from bondage, as I said, not speaking Hebrew, discovered the scrolls. And as they opened them and read them, the scribes who could read Hebrew would read and then explain the meaning in Aramaic. That was oral originally. Eventually, people began to write down the translations, and the Targums were born. And when we were teaching on the Psalms as the nightly messages, I'm oft times going to the Targums to see what the dedicated Jewish translators at the time, with manuscripts earlier than what we have, what they translated as the meaning from the Hebrew to the Aramaic. Aramaic ruled from 700 B.C. to 700 A.D., from the Euphrates to Palestine, from the northern parts of Syria to the southern parts of Arabia. Latin moves in with the Romans, who ruled from the Euphrates through that whole area. The roots of the old Latin versions are doubtless to be found in the practice of the double reading of Holy Scripture during divine services. First in the Greek text, the Septuagint for the Old Testament, and epistles such as those written by Paul, or the Gospels for the New Testament. And they would read first in the Greek text, as in Nehemiah 8, the scribes read from the Hebrew text. And then they would explain the meaning in the vernacular tongue, Latin. The reading would probably be done in more or less brief sections, one after another, just as the Jews were accustomed to provide an Aramaic targum at the reading of the Hebrew Scriptures. At first, the Latin translation would have been oral, without book. But as part or all of it came to be written down and stereotyped, it was easier to take an existing text and modify it to suit local requirements than to make an entirely new translation. For convenience, the translations, when they began to translate or write down the oral translations, the translation would have been interlinear. That's the Greek and then the Latin written above it. Later on, manuscripts with two columns of text for ease of reading during the public reading of the lessons were prepared. In some instances, the Latin rendering, which may have been made earlier from a different Greek borlage or pattern, was accommodated to the Greek text to which it was now attached. Final stage came when the custom of reading the lessons in Greek died out, and thereafter copies would be made of the Latin text alone, and then Jerome moves on the scene to try to select out of all the texts an updated rendering, and with a passion for the Hebrew direct, he would go behind the old Latin, which more properly reflected the Septuagint version, which was the Greek translation of the Old Testament that was the Bible of the New Testament world. And thus he, in essence, would change by going to other Hebrew manuscripts what was the basis for the Old Latin. So the many differences, like I said the other night, of the Samaritan Pentateuch. The Samaritan Pentateuch has thousands of deviations from the Masoretic Hebrew text, and interestingly enough, thousands within those thousands of deviations are the same as the deviations in the Septuagint from the Masoretic text. The Masoretic text was put together 300 to 700 A.D. Septuagint translated 300 to 100 B.C. What we keep looking for is that German word borlage, the oldest original pattern from which the spring flew, purer water of the word. It's what we're digging. Age doesn't necessarily mean better. But when there's a horizontal conformity among all these first and early second century translators, 200 years before the oldest complete Bible that we have in Greek, which we have copies of all three of them down in the room of the book, I'm getting closer to that borlage, the older manuscripts. Augustine. And, you know, there's a long series here on where these old Latin texts first originated. The close of the 19th century, late 1800s, a little after the London polyglot, one of the three great polyglots that I will show you tonight, many scholars suggested that Antioch in Syria was the place where the old Latin versions originated. The strongest arguments in support of Assyrian origin of the Latin translations, remember Christians were first called Christians at Antioch, and Paul started all three of his missionary journeys from Antioch and returned there to his headquarters. The strongest arguments in support of Assyrian origin of the Latin, old Latin translations are the knowledge of Hebrew and Aramaic, which is revealed by the translators, and the unmistakable relations with the old Syriac versions when you compare them. And this should not shock the Syriac. In fact, I've been asked to write the introduction to the new production by the I have mental blocks with too many languages flowing in. The Aramaic Bible Society, the fruit of the work of George Lamsa, whose middle initial M is because of his hometown where he was born. And when he was coming to this country, he had only one name, Lamsa, born in northwestern Iran, and a master of the Syriac language, who dedicated his life to translating the Syriac Peshitta. In line, he heard somebody in front of him say, "You got to have two names." And he only had Lamsa. That's all he'd ever had his whole life. And he had heard somebody with the name George, so he picked George and then used the initial for his hometown and became known ever after as George M. Lamsa. The Aramaic Bible Society is reproducing and updating the Peshitta, the Syriac Bible. Lamsa's conviction was that all the books of the New Testament were written first in Syriac. I think he's pushing it too far there. But there is no question but what Syriac was an accompanying language or among the very first that were written. I'm convinced that Matthew took notes of Jesus' sayings in the shorthand Aramaic that I showed you the other night. It became the basis of his gospel, which I thoroughly believe he did in Greek. It was translated into Syriac within almost a 3 to 5 year period, carried to Edessa. That Syriac was the homebed, and for someone to translate from the earliest documents an ability to be fluent in Aramaic and Syriac and Hebrew made them better translators for the into the Latin. And likewise, Greek was the commercial tongue of the area. So there's strong arguments for Syria being the origin of the old Latin. But the majority of scholars look at North Africa as the home of the first Latin version of the New Testament. Again, you read through the New Testament and pay no attention to certain things like the eunuch key aid to the Queen of Ethiopia, or Paul spending the first 3 years after his Damascus Road experience in Arabia. Why would he go to Arabia? At the time, Syria, Antioch, was part of the Nabataean Empire, descendants of Ishmael, who ruled all of Arabia from the Euphrates to Palestine. He couldn't go back to Jerusalem. To them, he was an apostate because he had gone to Damascus to imprison Christians. The natural boundary, the Lord spoke out of the light and said, "I've called you to be an apostle, a witness, a voice. I send you to the Gentiles." So he heads those who rule. You miss it, for example, when he flees from Damascus and those who held the ropes and let him over. Remember that story? I'll bet most of you have read that and never even noticed that the ethnarch, which is equivalent of the governor or ruler under Aretas, was going to arrest him And Rees was the king of the Nabataeans. They ruled that whole area. So he must have stirred up. He had no problem when he left Damascus going. And Damascus was a seat also of the Nabataean Empire. They ruled the Syrians, an Arab empire, descendants of Ishmael. You know where the word Arab comes from? Arite? Abram. A-R-A-B. Based on that, they are descendants of Abraham. Some of the apocryphal books had Abraham journey all the way to the Red Sea, all the way across South Arabia, all the way to the Euphrates, and all the way back to the coast of Lebanon. And no one can argue, though the promised seed was Isaac, no one can argue that the seed of Abraham occupy the land. The non-Isaac seed, but God told Abraham to quit worrying. He had a plan for Ishmael also, who would grow into several great nations. Now, the Phoenicians and the Canaanites and the Egyptians, descendants of Ham. Sometimes we forget that the Arabs are descendants of Abraham. Or some of them, from that terrible experience of Lot, where his daughters got him drunk after he left Sodom. And out of incest came one of the Middle Eastern nations, the descendants of Esau, or another group. But Esau is of the Abraham line. Abraham spawned a lot of people. And there's plenty of reason for Paul to go to Arabia. We'll go right by those phrases. Don't even take the time to see, well, who is this ruler of Damascus that's going to arrest Paul? I mean, there wasn't any problem when he was there first. But he must have stirred up in the Nabataean kingdom, preaching to the Gentiles those 3 years. But there's a well-known passage in Augustine about back to the Latin. Those who translated the scriptures from Hebrew into Greek, oh, I mentioned North Africa. We just read by these things. Who picked up Jesus' cross? I mean, what a tragedy. And I would say this, as I've been bleeding openly in my emotions for a few weeks about those that came and started and then are sitting licking their wounds because they failed. Why did the Romans have to seize that man from North Africa? They use in the New Testament word, he was from Libya. Why did they have to seize him to pick up Jesus' cross when he fell under it? How come some of those disciples weren't pushing the crowd aside to run and be the one that picked up his cross? You're going to tell me that that man from Libya that the Roman soldiers grabbed and made carry Jesus' cross would ever be the same? You think he didn't follow the whole event and see the crucifixion and, like the centurion, experience the shakings of the earthquake, and probably heard the centurion say, this really was the Son of God. North Africa produced some of the greatest church fathers, and North Africa during the Roman Empire spoke Latin. That was their vernacular language. So Augustine says, those who translated the scriptures from Hebrew into Greek can be counted, but the Latin translators are out of all number. For in the early days of the faith, every man who happened to gain possession of a Greek manuscript of the New Testament and who imagined he had any facility in both languages, however slight that might have been, dared to make a translation. And Jerome complains that almost as many different Latin versions of the scripture as there are manuscript copies. Not that many still around. And the list of old Latin manuscripts were fortunate. In our Bible, displays at the cathedral. We have two. This one I can't put on display yet. I got it from the Trinity College Library in Cambridge. They gave me the permission to use it for my own study. So I can take pictures of it, which I've done, mark them up, and I don't think you can get close enough to come around here and see, because we only got 5 minutes left in this hour, acting like we got Sunday night, 4 hours. On the text that I've been teaching on Sunday morning, Romans 3:22. I'll get a pencil so you can find it. This is Codex Augeensis. It's one of the old Latin manuscripts. Now, this is a photocopy I made of the page of the one I just showed you that came to me from Cambridge. This is the verse that I've been teaching on. Dikaiosuni, De Theu, Dia Pisteos Jesu Christe. And then in parallel column you have the Latin. Justitia Otem De Perfidem Jesu in Nomina Sacra Christi. You say I can hardly read that. Well, I have to use a magnifying glass, but I can tell you I'm able with this manuscript to check the old Latin from this pre-Vulgate old Latin manuscript that I have now in my library for personal research, and I'm seeking and think I'll obtain permission to place it on display down in the room of the book. But I'm able to check and once again confirm what I've been preaching from all the other early languages. What this says is the righteousness, even the righteousness of God, per fidem. Per is by means of, it's the best translation, by means of or by the faith of Jesus Christ. Not belief in, by the faith. I have already down at station 37 from the manuscript in Paris, the only one, you've seen it probably, I have the film strip that they sent me, and I was able then to reproduce the whole manuscript, Greek on the left, Latin on the right. You can take a picture of it. I haven't time to go into it. This is the manuscript that goes clear back to the 6th century, Codex Claremontis on the book of Romans, and again, it says the same thing, per fidem. Jesu Christi. All the old manuscripts say the same thing. It's the faith of Christ, not belief in Him. I wanted to go to another one, but I'm out of time. I hope you'll get on the phone, make your reservations for Sunday, because I will continue teaching on Romans, and tomorrow night the teaching that's been playing will continue. I just wanted to come tonight to test the waters again each week to see if you appreciate the time on 56. Get on the telephone.